Can I say anathema?
No. No, that's terrible. This is episode 388 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activities, ideas, and comments. From the previous week on anarchistnews.org, this is for the week of October 26th through November 1st, 2024. What's new this week? Halloween 2024, issue of Distinctively Dionysian, from distinctivelydionysian.noblogs.org. Issue includes mischief. Issue includes, quote, mischief, mayhem, the macabre, Mallarmé, German expressionist cinema et theater, and a riot of cabaret magic with new writings, anarchic troublemaking, and more, unquote. And it costs $15 plus postage, or apparently trade, but probably not for dick pics, allegedly. Yeah, you had to read the comments. Move on.
Okay, that's what I figured. There's something I'm not.
Yeah.
Anathema, Volume 10, Issue 2, from anathema.noblogs.org. I like saying the word blogs on this.
Blogs.
I'm enjoying the various plays that people make on the alleged Bonanno quote, "The secret is to really begin." This issue of Anathema adds to that mix the title, "The Secret is to Really Complain." This piece also speaks to me, as it is another voice in the Be Anarchists column of the Be Anarchist versus Don't Threaten Non-Anarchists debate. Quote, "There is no complaints department. There are times when attitudes of some anarchists seem to mirror a consumer mentality. The consumption of demonstrations, talks, social events, projects, and even comrades is an unfortunate reality. This plays out as the projection of one's goals or desires onto projects that one did not organize and may not even fully know the intentions of. Relying on others to orient their projects to accommodate our often unstated desires is misguided and presumptuous." Unquote. Then there's an article on how political institutions are resilient and changing the people in power doesn't shift the power dynamics. Obvious, but probably some anarchists need to read that in an election year. Anyway, I'm not going to itemize all the articles here. This is worth reading, even on a screen.
That was Anathema 10, Issue 2.
Why didn't you say that was whatever the fuck up
there?
Because
there's a pattern to when I say it and when I don't, and you obviously haven't figured it out.
Well, your pattern sucks, unless it's just to make me do it.
You're figuring it out is... Letter from anarchist prisoner Jorge Yorch Esquivel from It's Going Down. A short note from Esquivel talking about not getting information on where his appeal is at, asking for political pressure, and asking for art supplies like thread, beads, colored markers, mica paper, etc. And finally thanking LA and Mexico anarchist Black Crosses for keeping him in the mix. There is no address listed here, but I'm sure his address is not hard to find.
Contribution to Days of Action Against Nationalism and Militarism from Act for Freedom Now, a communique. Someone set fire to a substation in France, cutting power to a number of companies supporting militaries. Quote, "Other actions of this kind take place regularly. They show the wheels of war. Attacking them and making our actions resonate with others seems essential to us. We recognize ourselves in the statement issued at the Anarchist Book Fair of the Balkans, and send warm greetings to those who are struggling against the resurgence of nationalism and militarism. Let us continue to strengthen our networks of resistance and solidarity." Unquote.
Lynn Zan on In the Digital Age, Poetic Reason as an Alternative, from Fifth Estate by Olcar Lynn Zan, on a book by Jesus Sepulveda. A mildly critical review of a book that Lynn Zan clearly wants to like. Quote, "It is never made clear precisely what poetry itself, or by extension, poetic reason, is for Sepulveda. The relatively few poets cited, including the powerful examples of Vallejo and Paz, give some indication, but the reader trying to discern the exact nature of poetic reason's revolutionary core is left mainly with familiar essentialist declarations of poetry's special purity. But what makes the reason of poetry more pure than that of prose? What constitutes its essential radical nature? Its speakable rhythms, its sensuous form, the social roles of the poet, its evocation of imagery and symbol, its alteration of the writer's and reader's states of consciousness," unquote. And, quote, These scattered ruminations make one yearn for a more focused and fully manifested explanation. Poetic Reason in the Age of Digital Control stands as an eloquent critique of the pressing problems facing us in the current historical epoch, and evokes a brief sketch of some ideas pointing toward a promising response. Unquote. Poetry. I've heard mixed things.
Isn't his name Sepulveda and not Sepulveda?
Yes.
FBI, two arrested for mink release connected to anarchist communes. From mainstream site The Daily Item. The second sentence here is wild. Quote, Pennsylvania State Police also believe one was paid $50,000 to come to Sunbury and release the animals. Unquote. Where would we be without George Soros, I guess? Anyway, this is mainstream media believing cops, so nothing to see here.
Sudanese anarchist group statement from Anon. Not a well-known group, which is not surprising. This is a brief statement about the fucked up situation in Sudan and a call. Quote, this is a revolutionary and humanitarian call to all anarchists to raise awareness about the Janjaweed's crimes and the urgent need to stop them and hold the perpetrators accountable. It is also a call for solidarity to support our people in their weakness so that they may rise again. Long live peace, no to wars. Unquote. There is no information on how they would like support to come to them. We could probably come up with some ways, of course.
Colin Ward's School Without Walls from The New Statesman by Ken Warple. A fond and glowing look back at Ward's breadth of impact and work as part of the UK publications Freedom, then Anarchy, then The New Statesman, including statements from people who had studied him. Quote, in his 1987 essay, Utopian Sociology, historian Raphael Samuel celebrated Ward's foresight in understanding the radical changes that had emerged in Britain in the 1960s. Anarchy magazine represented better than any other publication the cultural revolution of the 1960s, and it did so far earlier than anyone else and more thoughtfully. Ward's optimism, he suggested, drew strength from a whole new terrain of social politics in which local initiative counted for more than national direction. Provocatively contrasting Ward's libertarianism with born-again Marxism of Maoist or neo-Trotskyism hue, which seeks to replace real-life self-assertion with make-believe bids for power. Samuel saluted Ward's constructive antinomianism, which took its energy from having no articles of faith to describe to.
Nope.
No articles of faith to subscribe to.
You said describe to.
No, I said subscribe.
No.
No. Which took its energy from having no articles of faith to subscribe to, no canonical texts to refer to, no gods or heroes to placate. Unquote. This article, also announcing a new book about Ward, makes him sound pretty cool. Quote, finally, at the heart of Colin Ward's anarchism was a profound disagreement with the assumption that the social and the political were one and the same thing. Reporting from the front line of community action in his New Statesman columns, Ward understood that the social was a larger, more inclusive, informally constructed and sustained world than the political, and less easily captured by vested interests. People make and unmake the social world each day, which is why it retained its flexibility and resilience. Unquote.
That was Colin Ward's School Without Walls. Change the World, Have Fun, Be Creative, from Fifth Estate by Norman Naroki. This is an anarchist teacher of political art classes, encouraging people by talking about how they teach such a class. Nothing wrong with that. Quote, each work group then chose one theme, brainstormed a creative, physical, theatrical depiction of it, and dramatized both problem and solution. The result? Punchy, easy to understand, improvised anarchist guerrilla theater sketches that could be performed anywhere in public. They also added improvised live musical accompaniment, sung chants, and drew simple but powerful artwork to hold up behind and alongside the performers. During a two-hour workshop, they accomplished all this in less than 30 minutes with a 10-minute rehearsal. The rest of the time was dedicated to learning the principles and theory of creative resistance, trademark, and best practices elsewhere, unquote. Obviously, this lends itself most to activism, but activists should have fun too. And I'm sure it's just cynicism that has me seeing marketing everywhere. Don't yell at me. I'm a victim of this civilization.
Reflections on the... I can't see that not think assassinate for some reason.
They wish they were that cool. They really do wish they were that cool. Anarchist Studies Network.
It's really not that cool.
No.
Reflections on the ASN 8 conference, looking back / forward, from anarchiststudies.noblogs.org. This write-up is a perfectly pleasant reflection on the Anarchist Studies conference in general, and this particular year's events in particular. It makes me yearn for the old bastard conference, though, when I read explanations like the following. Quote, while we effectively subvert the academic format where we can, the setup of ASN remains that of an academic conference. With all acknowledgement of the Ivory Tower baggage, this is a space for rigorous critical thinking and a place to have one's own work scrutinized. A conference is a distinct space from other anarchist gatherings, anarchist book fairs, social centers, and other events where we might meet and discuss ideas. While there is always more that we can do to push the boundaries of what that academic conference space looks and feels like, it cannot ultimately escape academia, nor do we want it to. Unquote. So yeah, the unquestioning association of academia with rigor and careful critique is part of the issue with Ivory Tower baggage. Aside from that, the organizer-author had a good time and thinks the organizers did a good job.
Malcolm Archibald, 50 Years of Black Cat Press, from Freedom News by Sean Patterson. Now defunct anarchist project of 50 years, Black Cat Press seems like a publisher in the AK Press tradition. Lots of Makhno, Berkman, Kropotkin, Bakunin, Nikiforova, etc. It didn't survive the double whammy of COVID and vandalism. This is a talk with Black Cat Press founder on the project. Quote, from 1989 to 2001, Black Cat Press shared space with the Boyle Macaulay News, the monthly newspaper of Edmonton's inner city with an all-volunteer staff. The newspaper generally tried to print positive news about the community, but an exception was the issue of juvenile prostitution, a terrible blight until we started printing stories about it and the authorities finally took action. Unquote. Authorities taking action is definitely what anarchist presses are all about. Moving on.
Book review, No Harmless Power, from Freedom News by Bobness. This is a charming book report on No Harmless Power, A History of Makhno. Quote, Allison really did his homework. He devotes a long chapter to very brief bios of anarchists that even I had never heard of, but who all had Makhno-era links to Ukraine. Some were born in Ukraine and grew into anarchists there. Others came as far as Japan, like Osugi Sakai. There is lots of fascinating trivia in this story. One anarchist cavalry commander had had both feet amputated in World War I. A cavalryman with no feet! Sometimes his battalion dismounted and fought as dragoons. His men wheeled him into battle in a wheelbarrow. That's a story you don't hear every day, not in the works of ableist historians anyway. Then there's the gossip. Makhno really did drink too much sometimes. It's not what killed him, though. That's a lie. Ida Met thought his partner Galina was a gold digger. Stuff like that. Who slept with who last and who owes who money have plagued our praxis forever. Somehow we managed to work around it. Unquote. If you ration yourself on Freedom News articles, this is the one I would choose for the week. Maybe that's just me. Also, Ness's tone reminds me of Sean Swain, so yeah.
That was No Harmless Power, not exactly a review, but who's a pedant? Audio and video on the voting question from the Uncivilized Podcast, 36 minutes. So there was some shallow pushback in the comments about even talking about voting, and while that pushback was inarticulate, this conversation is disappointing. Both speakers here seem ambivalent about talking about voting, or maybe about who their audience is, or what their points are. I would suggest that talking about something like anarchist anti-electoralism could be for three reasons. One, explaining things to people who are new to the idea, which the hosts barely half-ass. Two, explaining a different perspective on the ideas to people who have been around for a while, which the hosts don't do. And or three, giving talking points to other people who are talking to people who are new to the ideas, which they kind of barely do. Instead, this is mostly a complaint fest about how they have to deal with people who don't agree with them. They're uninformed on the things that pro-voters are freaking out about, specifically Project 2025, and attacks on trans, queer, and abortion were not even mentioned once. Voting is not anarchist, but this episode will not convince anyone. At the very end, they make a solid point, but then they end the episode. Spend the 30-plus minutes reading this issue of Anathema instead. This week's podcast was sound edited by Rosinante. The What's New is written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and...
Semi-Colonic.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious.